Welcome to the Retail Transformation Show with me, Oliver Banks. This is your weekly podcast, delivering you the insight, ideas, and inspiration to successfully change and transform in our ever-evolving world of retail. Enjoy listening. There's always enormous debate about whether technologies such as AI and robotics are destroying jobs and eliminating those frontline roles that have produced great retail leaders over the time. Is that the case? Or is the alternative view that they're creating new jobs and new opportunities in their place true instead? And amongst all of this, what is the role of humans, of people, in our evolving retail world? Let's find out. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Retail Transformation Show. My name is Oliver Banks. I'm your host, and I'm a retail transformation specialist and author of the book, Driving Retail Transformation: How to Navigate Disruption and Change. It's hot off the press and available now in all good bookstores. Whether you prefer to buy your books from a global e-commerce megapower or your local bookstore, if it's not stocked in store, then just ask to order in your copy of Driving Retail Transformation. And perhaps suggest that they should be stocking it, because clearly it's an amazing book. Well, thank you for tuning in today. This one is episode 285, number 285. And as I was saying, there's always a huge amount of chatter, particularly invigorated by the latest developments in AI. Does technology destroy jobs? Does it take the role of frontline colleagues and automate it, turning a company from a collection of humans with a heart to a bunch of machines with ones and zeros? As a frontline colleague, it would be easy to see all of these different technologies, whether we're talking about robotics or AI, whatever, see all these technologies and see that they are doing the same role that you are doing. And it would be easy to feel like that technology is going to destroy my job. It would be incredibly hard to debate that, right? But there is more going on than meets the eye. And that's what I wanted to dive into with you in this episode. So we're going to take a look at three different technologies and explore the impact and the changes that they evoke. And we'll explore the impact on roles and business and customers and the opportunities that they unlock as well. The show notes for today are over at obandco.uk/285. And head on over there to sign up for my Retail Transformation Briefing, my weekly email newsletter to keep your finger firmly on the pulse of the ever-evolving world of retail. So obandco.uk/285. So first up, let's investigate warehouse robotics. And to help us understand the change, let's rewind pre-automation to a world where we had manual warehouses. Whether we're talking about a distribution center picking bulk orders to send out to stores or to other distribution hubs, or whether you're talking about an e-commerce warehouse or even mail order, right? Sending out individual orders to consumers. So this was a manual operation. People were moving tons of stock around using trolleys, using forklifts, using perhaps conveyors or other material handling equipment. And the product would be touched multiple times before it's completed its journey through the warehouse. Whether it would be touched in bulk, for example on a pallet, as a collection of product, or as an individual product or case. In Lean Six Sigma, there's a big view of understanding the value add. Well, let's be honest, all of those multiple touches are not adding value, right? They are classed as waste if you're thinking about Lean Six Sigma. So let's move forward to an automated warehouse operation. You've got robots moving the stock around. Let's say, for argument's sake, AMRs, moving either pallets, or they're moving totes, or perhaps even whole towers of stock. And they're taking that stock to a picking station. Now, that picking station could be a human picker, or it could be a robot picking arm. There's been huge technology development there. So you could equally extend this whole example to talk about the picking operation. But in this shift, what we've seen as an impact on colleagues, an impact on the people, it severely reduces the amount of travel time. But not just from a productivity or a time spent perspective, it's also the effort that goes into literally dragging a pallet of goods or pushing a heavy trolley, whatever that is. That makes the job less accessible, less inclusive. That pure muscle work also resulted in more injuries, more long-term sickness, lots of different challenges for both the company and, of course, the individual involved. And, of course, all the headache of actually organising, oh, you know, Terry's called in sick with his bad back again, whatever. But in the new robotic or automated world, yes, there are fewer warehouse colleagues, but they're not spending the time travelling across the warehouse. They're spending their time, let's say, for example, at the picking station, picking items. Pick rate has gone through the roof in return. They are adding more value per minute or per hour. And that's great, obviously, for the business. And the business also benefits from having a smaller payroll as a result. Although, of course, you have to pay for the robotic system in return. Also for the business, there are other benefits like condensed storage and being able to operate arguably 24/7. And all of that for a customer impact that is basically non-existent. The customer doesn't care, frankly, and doesn't notice, most likely, who has picked their particular order. As long as it gets done effectively, obviously if it's broken or ripped or damaged or the wrong item, that's obviously an issue. And arguably, automation would be more successful at that, particularly the wrong item picked challenge in terms of more barcode scans, more weight checks, etc. So the customer doesn't care. The business sees lots of upside. And whilst there is an impact in terms of fewer colleagues, the roles are more interesting and less intensive and more inclusive. But not only that, there are new roles as we think about warehouse automation as well. Repair is a big new sector that we've never really done. Yes, of course, there's been forklift repair, but it's been quite a niche element. But suddenly, when you've got a fleet of AMRs and they all need battery changes, wheel changes, etc., suddenly there is that role there. Now, that could be an opportunity for a new role. Warehouse management also shifts. It's less about managing people because there is a smaller team, but it's more about managing the flow, managing the stock to ensure great availability, to ensure minimal damage, to ensure great pick quality, great pack quality, etc. That management is focused on removing bottlenecks, solving challenges, liaising and collaborating across the warehouse team and across the whole organization as well. And that really helps to focus in the attention on what's most important for customers and for the business. And sure, warehouse management will continue to evolve. I have no doubt that in a few years' time, we'll be thinking more about robot productivity in terms of efficiency and output per day. And that warehouse management side, in the meantime, will also need to think more carefully about managing and planning for peak times, whether we're talking about Black Friday or seasonal peaks. You can't just add surge capacity onto a robot system so easily as calling up an agency and saying, oh, I have another 5 pairs of hands for today, please. Yes, you can add robots into the system, but it needs more planning. So that warehouse management role is focused more on the stock flows and more strategic thinking rather than battling all of the people issues that can challenge those individual roles right now. So this whole warehouse robotics technology implementation means that individual people are adding more value per unit of time. They're spending less time on travel and transport, and it's less impactful on their bodies. And whilst there are fewer roles available, there are some new opportunities that open up as well. So let's move on to our second example. And here I'd like to think about checkouts. So once again, let's cast our minds back to a world where the long checkout bank, many, many different checkouts available, with cashiers sitting behind all of them, waiting for a customer to arrive with a basket or a cart of goods. And now we've got many technology-enabled solutions. Perhaps we're thinking about self-checkouts or self-scan or smart carts that recognise the product as they are shopped and put into the cart. Or perhaps we're thinking of a totally checkout-free store where customers can pick up their shopping and just walk out. Now, the impact here on colleagues and associates is, once again, fewer roles available, because that long bank of checkouts is now not needed to fulfill the same customer throughput, the same capacity. And yes, these new technology-enabled checkouts still require some human intervention and support. A self-checkout bank needs a person to support it. Perhaps it's a multitasking person that's doing some replenishment at the same time, if it's a smaller convenience store, or if it's a larger store, maybe one individual colleague can support, let's say, 8 or 10 self-checkouts at once, getting involved to deal with exceptions and challenges. So there are fewer people. And for the business, that delivers a payroll saving that, again, supports the development and the implementation of that technology and delivers ROI in the process. And yes, there's always discussion about stock loss and shrink, whether that's intentional or unintentional, going through, for example, technologies like self-checkout. Lots of chatter at the moment, and that will continue, right? But shoplifting has not been created by technology, let's be honest. Let's also think about the impact on customers as these new checkout technologies deploy. Now, there is absolutely a split here. Some customers love the new checkouts, and some hate them. A real divide. I'm sure we can all think of those times where we've got frustrated ourselves, whether you like a self-checkout or not. We've all got frustrated about place item in the bagging area, and it's just not registering, right? But some people can oversee that, whereas some people that prevents them shopping in that way. It's such a huge frustration. And they miss the interaction, the engagement, the banter with a human cashier. But the important point here is that choice is critically important for customers, because while some people love the interaction with human cashiers, other people are not bothered or even flat out don't want it. Maybe they're focused on speed. Maybe they don't want the social chit-chat. What we're doing here by offering a choice to the customer is that we're allowing that individual customer to choose their preferred option, their preference. And that's fantastic, right? The challenge for customers comes if either of those options is not up to scratch. Either they're looking for a cashier-based checkout and resourcing hasn't put enough cashiers on duty, or the payroll hasn't got enough bandwidth to support enough cashiers, or the technology of the technology-enabled solutions is not up to the challenge. But either way, it allows the customer to choose their preferred option. Meanwhile, the cashiers that do still support the whole checkout bank, whatever that suite is, they're either focused on talking with customers that want the engagement, or they're focused on dealing with the exceptions from, let's say, a self-checkout bank. So onto our third technology area. And we couldn't not talk about AI, right? There are so many instances where we could talk about AI and its impact onto frontline colleagues or other field roles or head office colleagues at any hierarchical level through the organization. But I wanted to focus in particular on customer service. So let's again rewind the clock back to a time where you'd have a customer service center full of people answering phones, sending emails, perhaps answering letters and other messages, whilst you'd also have people out in, let's say, stores, again, answering the local phone call, getting interrupted, getting distracted with all sorts of menial queries about shop opening times or product queries. And now we're in a place where we're in this great transition. So let's go to, you know, yesterday, so to speak, figuratively, where we've got AI in a very loose sense. Really, it's more automation. Let's think about those phone calls. They go down an automated funnel. Press one for store opening times. You know what I'm talking about, right? And what that's doing is it's taking off all of those menial requests, the standard asks that so many customers have, the FAQs, if you will, and it's automating them so that the call volume obviously significantly reduces, i.e. fewer people in the call center or fewer minutes, hours, days spent on the phone by colleagues overall. We're also seeing AI starting to be deployed into chatbots. And again, like self-checkouts, chatbots is a topic that has lots of people getting on their proverbial soapbox. And there are two types of chatbot as we see it right now. You've got the very basic chatbot, which is essentially a predetermined list of precise questions that can take you down a very restricted funnel, where you can only ask specific questions and you can't say free write in text. And then you have the more sophisticated chatbots that are using natural language processing, and it allows you as a customer to type in your question, your query, your complaint, and it will understand and respond accordingly. But where we're moving to is a world where we've got more intelligent AI being deployed into this customer service function. Chatbots, in return, are going to get more advanced, more natural to chat to. And it's not that difficult to imagine a world where, from a telephone point of view, you've got a listening AI, a text generation AI, and a voice reproduction AI, such that you could have a verbal conversation with an AI. That's not that difficult to imagine, right? And actually, that AI could really be tailored to that individual customer that's calling up in terms of the language it's using, in terms of even the terminology it's using, the accents it's using. And suddenly it would feel much more personal, much more relatable for that individual customer. And yes, you might not want to use that sort of application for a critical customer call, a complaint, let's say, but you might want to use it for a more free-flowing conversation about something that's not so important. Perhaps the old telephone funnel disappears, right? There is no press one. You're just straight through to an AI assistant that is talking to you and responding and can involve their human colleagues accordingly. Now, the impact of all of this on people is that absolutely fewer agents are needed to answer the phone or messages, emails, whatever. But the people that are left, and I don't see customer service ever going no people at all for the record, but those people that still do work in their team are dealing with the more intricate issues, the more delicate matters of customer complaints, the more expansive matters of really supporting customers with more complex and more meaningful discussions, perhaps sales calls, for example, or product queries. The business impact is fewer colleagues needed and arguably greater reporting on the specific challenges and solutions that really help customers and prevent them needing to reach out to the customer service center in the first place. And customers, again, this will be split right now because we've got some quite clunky, quite basic AI or automation existing in place. And that's what's setting the expectation. But as we get more developed AI, suddenly I could see customers changing their views quite quickly. You know, think how quickly it was that ChatGPT captured people's hearts and minds in terms of, oh, it feels like I'm talking to a real human, right? We're not that far from that being able to deploy at scale and really streamline that whole customer service process for many of the customers, to the point that when you call up or when you reach out to have a chat, you might not even know if you're talking to a bot or a human. But it's about people using our natural skills, such as empathy and creativity. And for all of these different applications, we've got some common themes coming through here, because the role of people changes and it reduces, and there are job losses. But I don't believe in any of these instances, and many more, that humans will be completely replaced by machines, right? Instead, people have more interesting roles and they're more productive. The technology opens up the opportunities to streamline and simplify the roles such that we're not dragging heavy pallets across a warehouse. We're not mindlessly scanning goods, but instead we're engaging. We're not telling a customer the opening times for a store or the dreaded WISMO, right? And let's rewind the clock for a moment. Let's think of life a few decades ago, where you'd have these enormous pools of secretaries. This was commonplace, and these secretaries were used for all sorts of administrative tasks and value-adding tasks. But technology, in the form of computers and software, has significantly declined all of those roles, largely eliminating them, in fact. But in their place, companies now have active IT departments and tech teams and digital teams, So they saw huge job losses, absolutely, but also it opened up new opportunities too. And that's where we are with technology as a whole. Yes, we will see some job losses, but it will open up and unlock these new opportunities in a way that perhaps we can't even see right now. And the growth opportunity is for those individuals and for those companies about learning to use technology for what it's best at. Technology is not the best way, not necessarily. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's not one-size-fits-all either, for that matter. And there are absolutely aspects of retail which, for the foreseeable future, will remain firmly in the remit of people and non-technical solutions. We can apply our creativity, our ability to deal with high variability, our ability to connect and build relationships with customers and with colleagues, and lead the way. All of these are human skills, human capabilities, and that's what we, as an industry, need to lean into. Technology will continue to disrupt the role of people within retail. It will continue to streamline and simplify and accelerate and automate, and it will continue to raise discussions about job losses, but it will make jobs more meaningful, and it will unlock new, fantastic jobs as well. And so for us, it's about learning to embrace technology and people. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, or you can find my details on the show notes page at obandco.uk/285, where you can also find out more about the Retail Transformation Briefing and my new book, Driving Retail Transformation. So thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to joining you on another episode of the Retail Transformation Show very, very soon. Bye for now.